Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We are just entering our 40 days of spiritual preparation for Easter, the 40 days we know as the season of Lent. We have just entered them this past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. And we find in our scripture Jesus concluding a 40-day period of preparation. A period of preparation and testing. Immediately after his baptism, the scripture states that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And Jesus' preparation for this, it seems, is a 40-day, 40-night fast. And it is at that point, at the conclusion of those 40 days, that the devil brings him three different temptations. Change these rocks to bread. You know you are hungry. Call on God to protect you. You know he will. Take your place on an earthly throne. You know they will all worship you if you worship me. Three different flavors, really, of one temptation. You deserve better than what you have right now. Each one of these temptations, Jesus brushes aside with words from Scripture, the book that we know as Deuteronomy, to be exact. Such an appropriate place, by the way, for Jesus' scriptural responses to come from, because Deuteronomy is the book associated with Moses and the Israelites during their years of learning, humility, and trust, their 40 years of wandering and testing, their period of preparation to enter the promised land. Jesus' answers were simple, scriptural, and powerful. Life is not sustained on bread alone, but on the Word of God. Do not test God, worship only God. Three different flavors of the same answer. Trust in God to be God, even when you are the capital S Son of God. It is in this story of Jesus' wilderness temptations that we can learn what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God, in fact. Episcopal priest, professor, and author Barbara Brown Taylor says, "A son of God is not someone who is related to God by rising out of his humanity, but someone who is beloved by God for sinking into it, even when he is famished, even when he is tempted by the devil himself." Or maybe we learn in this story what being the Son of God is not. Presbyterian pastor Patrick Wilson writes, "Jesus refuses to be who we want him to be. He will not turn our stones to bread. He will not prove God to us. He will not turn from God to embrace the kinds of success we would recognize and applaud. He remains maddeningly himself. He remains steadfastly God's." Jesus was tempted at his most vulnerable point. After 40 days and nights of fasting, isolation, and I can only imagine not much sleep, being the wilderness and all. He wasn't tempted at his baptism when God was speaking words of affirmation and approval, or while he was among his friends and family, or while he was sitting in the temple. Jesus was tempted at his lowest point, and he did not relent. He shows us that it can be done. We need to see how temptation is resisted. No matter how inevitable it may seem to us that the Son of God could resist temptation, we need to see it done. Just as we need to see the sacrifice made for us upon the cross, we need to see that it has been done. No matter how inevitable it may be that the Son of God could do it. Our temptations do not look like these gaudy and garish ones put before Jesus. Our temptations, while they may not feel like it, are smaller, and perhaps they are more insidious, in that they are not as obvious and as grand as these that the devil presented to Jesus. They are temptations to take power, credit, pleasure. They whisper to our vanity, our selfishness, our apathy. They ask us to believe that we deserve better than we have. They make us question who we trust. And yes, like Jesus, they can hit us when we are at our most vulnerable. Sick, tired, hungry, lonely. But we're fooling ourselves if we think that that is the only time temptations succeed against us. They can get us even when we feel the strongest, the most on top of the world, when we think we are at our very best, because that is when it is easy to forget that we are not in control. Easy to forget we have not earned anything. Easy to let our pride, our flesh, answer. We pray every week, we will do it in just a moment, "Lead us not into temptation." And I do not believe God turns a deaf ear to this plea, but I think that we find character and truth in ourselves in the face of temptations. As much as I wish it were not true, I think we need the challenges of the lows and the trials and the temptations in our lives. Think of it this way. If life were all roses and unicorns and rainbows, would we even know the answer to the question, "Who do we trust?" If life were all smooth sailing, easy going, fresh and breezy, would we even know we needed to ask who we trust? The Reverend Marietta Anschutz puts it this way: in order to live a life that chooses God, a faithful person must face the choice of acting outside of God. In other words, temptations are our opportunities to choose. As I looked at the scripture this week, and I thought about how it follows so quickly on the heels of that scripture about Jesus' baptism, it occurred to me how much each of those moments, the highs and the lows, prepared Jesus for ministry. Jesus was declared by God to be his son, one in whom he was well pleased, and then he was sent with the Spirit for this period of testing, a period which came after a time of fasting on the things of this earth and feasting and relying on heavenly things. Jesus was weakened physically, was vulnerable physically, but surely he was focused spiritually. This is what Lent calls us to do. To borrow words from the liturgy of Ash Wednesday, we are called to focus ourselves spiritually by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's word. Jesus was focused and ready for his time of testing. It was not just that God claimed him in the waters of baptism, but Jesus then demonstrated his steadfastness through his temptations. And after these things, Jesus moved into ministry in Galilee. Our highs and our lows, while of course different from Jesus's, our highs and lows make us each one who we are. They prepare us for our ministry in the world. I believe that our lows, our trials, our temptations, just as much as our mountaintops, our victories and our resistances, I believe they help us find our calling. Maybe even help us hear it in the first place. Many among us, for instance, have found that the trials we have persevered through have become places of ministry. They have given our life purpose rather than having destroyed it. They have given us a specific way to speak hope into the world for the people who are in the midst of those very same trials. Others of us have found that our trials and temptations have taught us how dependent we are on God, how loved and accepted we are in spite of all of our failings and our shortcomings. They teach us the depth and the breadth of his grace and mercy, which we then use to speak that same grace and mercy into our world. These ministries that we engage in, these truths that we speak, are more powerful because of what has been overcome and reaching them. May we be prepared by the Holy Spirit for all of our trials and temptations, whether they come in our most vulnerable times or what feels like our most unshakable. May we strive to follow the example set by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we do face these trials, knowing that he died to set us free from them all. And may we respond in the face of both our victories and our failures in a way that shows we trust solely and faithfully in our one true God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we wish that life was easy sailing, free of temptations and trials, but that is not the way it is. Help us to see how each situation that we face that is a challenge to us gives us an opportunity to draw closer to you, to look at these words that Jesus used to thwart the devil and know that they work for us too. Help us to know and love and trust in you alone, Lord, that we might persevere through all that life brings our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.